We're one of the biggest investors in Germany, the EP Group, and we are mid-haul. You know, we will continue to invest in Germany. We like the German market.
Imagine you're born in New York, you sold French fries in Berlin, and then you actually served for the British Parliament. This sounds like a guy who lived many, many lives. So I was super happy when I heard that Greg is taking time to talk with us here at Investio de Folia. And this is the first time in English. Let's give it a go. It's a pleasure having you here.
Oh, thank you. Thank you, Lucas. It's a great pleasure to be with you today.
How come you are so international connected? How come you were born in America? I saw you speak many languages.
Yeah.
How come?
Well, I think I was born in America really by chance. My parents were working out in the United States in the 1960s. My father worked in defense electronics. And my mother was a teacher and they worked in the United States. So it was really by chance I was born there. And then after that, I studied languages at school. I loved languages. I loved foreign cultures. I loved traveling. Even as a teenager, I didn't do too much traveling. Couldn't really afford to, but we used to go to France, Germany. It was fun. I enjoyed it.
What do you think? What did you learn about languages that helped you in other fields? Since you know so many languages.
Yeah. I would say two things, Lucas. First is knowing German enabled me. I'm probably the youngest person alive who was in East Germany as an adult. So I went to the GDR, the DDR, and I wouldn't have been able to do that had I not spoken German. So I spoke to regular East Germans about what life was like under communism, and I didn't like what I heard. And that was quite a formative experience for me politically. So I think languages help you a lot to really get deep into a culture that you can't otherwise. You can always have a superficial knowledge, but speaking the language really gets you deep into that culture.
On your path, career path, you decided to go into politics. You are the only minister who served for all the five different conservative prime ministers, right?
Correct.
Why politics?
Well, I think politics really for two things, Lucas. Well, first is that experience in Eastern Europe. I also spent quite a bit of time in the Czech, what was then Czechoslovakia, now the Czech Republic. I also studied Czech at university. So I did a couple of summers in Prague in the late 1980s when it was still under communist rule. And frankly, you know, I didn't really like what I saw. You know, I thought it may be a bit cliched, but I thought, you know, politics makes a difference. If you have bad politics, you end up in a bad situation. Like East Germany, Czechoslovakia. And then I'll be frank, I spent a lot of time again in the United States. As you rightly point out, I was born in the United States, but I returned to the United States in the 1990s. And I liked life in the United States. I thought the free market, democracy, free trade, all of these things were really, really successful in the US. Ironically, they're now under question in the US, but at that time, under President George H.W. Bush, Bill Clinton, George W. Bush, you know, that was the consensus, you know, the United States. So I think those two things, those experiences pushed me into British politics to run for office in the UK.
Could you just briefly wrap up what your jobs were in politics? Because you had so many positions,
Yeah, well, I was the Minister for Trade four times. I was the Minister for Energy. I was the Minister for Budget. I was the Chairman of the Conservative Party in the UK. And I was also Deputy Chief Whip. So quite a few different roles, all very exciting roles. And I served for about 13 years as a government minister, one of the longest ever, actually.
Congratulations on
that. Thank you, Lucas. Thank you.
For somebody like me who has a good understanding of politics, but doesn't know the daily doing, what were your jobs? What were you doing?
My jobs were mainly kind of implementation jobs, making sure that what the prime minister decided is actually what was implemented and what was done. So trade, we decided to do free trade agreements. My job was to make sure that they happened and to oversee the negotiations. Getting legislation through, you know, getting the new laws through, the budget was really an enforcement job, making sure that government departments didn't overspend and so on.
I've seen when I was doing some research on you that on one night you lost some sort of vote with only like 150 votes missing, which was a hit for you, right? How did you take that and how did you deal with that disappointment?
Lucas, it is disappointing, but that is politics. You know, we're a democracy, and if the people choose somebody else, which they did in my case after 19 years as their member of parliament, you know, that's what you sign up to when you go into politics. One day you might get, you know, the voters may say, we don't want Greg Hands anymore, and that's what happened, and that's fine. You know, you just just have to move on. You have to accept that in advance. Mm-hmm. There's no point complaining about it afterwards, because every political career, Winston Churchill said, every political career ends in failure. But he didn't say every political career is a failure. He just said it ends in failure. So eventually, you know, you cease being the Bundeskanzler, you cease being the British Prime Minister, you cease being the MP for Chelsea and Fulham, you know, but it doesn't mean to say your career has been a failure.
How does things that you do in your daily doing or have been doing, how does that affect the average Joe like me living in, in a city? Imagine I would be a UK citizen.
Yeah.
How does your job affect me?
Well, I think the jobs that I've done have a real impact on people. When I was the Deputy Finance Minister, you know, we had a situation where Britain, under the previous Labour government, Britain was in a position for every £4 the government spent, £1 was being borrowed. And, you know, if you ran your finances, Lucas, on that basis, I think you'd be in trouble pretty quickly. So we had a difficult situation, and that was going to make it difficult for ordinary people, because the government was going to spend more on paying for its interest, paying for the loans that had been taken out. So that made a real impact. I think trade makes a real impact on people. You get better selection of goods. If you work for an exporter, you can sell more products or services into foreign markets. I think my role as energy minister, we made big moves towards more renewable energy in the UK and more nuclear energy, which I know is controversial in Germany, but not particularly controversial in the UK or France or Italy. You know, nuclear is very much part of the accepted energy mix. So I think making a real difference, but quite a high level, I'd say.
I see. If you look at the Brexit, like looking back at it now, how did the UK develop?
Well, I think that I always said straight after the vote that I always thought Brexit would have a bigger impact on politics than on economics. Mm-hmm. And I don't think the UK economy really, there's some controversy, you know, you'll read different studies about it. I don't think the UK economy has particularly suffered as a result of Brexit. In fact, the rate of growth the last 10 years has been broadly similar to Germany or France. I mean, nobody's growth has been good. So I don't think you could really blame Brexit for that. I think where it has made a big impact on British politics, the sort of the splintering of British politics, the centre of British politics has splintered a bit. Labour and Conservatives both not very strong at the moment. Kemi Badenoch is doing a great job bringing the Conservatives back up in Britain, but it's also led to the rise of, you know, sort of parties that are quite far left, like the Green Party in Britain, much further to the left than the Green Party in Germany. And the Reform Party, you know, is also, you know, it's not very much in the centre. So I think there's a lot of, like, political impact more than economic impact.
From somebody who has a deep understanding about German and British politics, maybe how do you see the challenges that both countries are facing at the moment politically, also looking at the economics?
Yeah.
And maybe what's the difference in these countries? How do they deal with that?
Yeah, well, I think there's a lot of similarities more than differences. You know, similar challenges. We're both energy importers at a time when energy prices are rising. We are both quite dependent on world trade. We have similar challenges with an aging population. You know, too few young people, too few children, really. You know, the birth rates are quite low. There's similar, I'd say we've got more similarities than differences. A key difference, Germany is still quite a strong manufacturing country. The UK is manufacturing strength in more sort of specific areas. The UK is much better at services, like professional services, some of which might get made redundant by AI. So I think there are some different challenges, but I say the similarities are bigger than the differences.
Maybe to wrap things up, since we are doing a podcast about investing, this is a topic I have to ask you.
Yeah.
Since I saw you're also as like an advisor for a big investor, right?
Correct. We're one of the biggest investors in Germany, the EP Group. We're a Czech conglomerate, principally with interests in energy, in retail, and in logistics. And we are we own Metro. We own quite a lot of energy installations in Germany. So we're a big investor in Germany, and we will continue to invest in Germany. We like the German market.
Just a question for the guy who's listening to us, as somebody who has also trading experience on the floor.
Yeah.
If somebody wants to start investing, what's a good start to get on the long run a good return?
Yeah, I would start investing quite conservative. You know, I wouldn't sort of run after Bitcoin or the latest tech stocks. Now, I would buy something just to get used to it, something pretty regular, like a DAX fund or a global equity index fund, and just get used to it. And don't become a trader, because if you're a small guy or a small woman, you'll get flattened by the big people. So invest for the long term, and I'd go for something pretty conservative to start with, so you really get to know something. Always better to invest in something you understand. So my boss, Daniel Kretinsky, when he buys into energy, into retail, into logistics, he buys stuff that he understands. If he doesn't understand it, he won't touch it.
Good
and
advice.
That'd be a good advice, I think, for small investors. If you don't understand it, don't invest in it.
That was Greg Hans. If you'd like to listen to him as well as I do, then you'll find a link in the description. Greg, I appreciate your time.
Lucas, and pleasure.
Enjoy the Ludwig Erhard gift.
I will enjoy it very much.
Thank
okay?
you. Thank you.
Thank you very much. All right.